that's the highlight for me, that people felt welcomed, and we began seeing some people every month, and then we became almost like friends seeing each other.
So, were there ever any difficult times where you think the food pantry might have been in trouble or maybe wouldn't make it?
We never did get to that point where we thought we would have to close. No, we, for a few years, were struggling pretty well, but it was never a time when we would have to quit, because we had such support for the whole community, from the churches and from all the volunteers. So we really never got to the point where we felt we had to close.
And a little bit about the church. So do you still go to the church now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how do you feel that the church has helped the community?
I think that our church has been very socially active, not only concerned with people who are hungry, but they're concerned with what's happening in the world as well. We try to support a number of mission we have given donations to people who I'm trying to think exactly how to describe it. There is a national church, and we work through them to help people who are either refugees or people who are in war-torn countries, or people who have, like children who have cleft palates and cleft lips, and we've sent money to help them. We have become an LGBT church, so that homosexuals are not laughed at, and we accept them, and they are part of our community. Some of us have worked as peacemakers in the town. A group of us have vigiled for peace in front of the post office, which is the one federal building in town, against war of any sort. And some of the Quaker women and men too joined with this group, and some that are from different churches. Some of them are from no church. One was a Catholic. There was a lady who's been very active from the Unitarian Church. So we started doing that way back after 9/11 occurred. And we felt, even before the attack or the invasion of Iraq, that something horrible might happen. And so we started to work for peace even then. And we've been there ever since. We're there every week, every year, and it's been 15 years now that we've been there. And as you know, we haven't stopped all the wars, sadly, but at least we felt that we had to speak up and urge people to write their congresspeople, to write the president, to call them, and we still stay there because we feel it's imperative that we stop war. Yeah.
And what made you interested in this specifically?
In specifically the war, you mean? Mm-hmm. I just think that the war is eating up precious money that could be going to health care, schools, helping people get jobs, help the environment, and help the infrastructure of our towns. Bridges are falling apart because we're not taking care of them. Sewers are coming apart because we're not taking care of them. And the money that war uses is so misused. And we could so much more benefit from helping people rather than going to war. It eats up all the good things in the world rather than helping to make people more brotherly and helping each other.
What are the kinds of responses that you've gotten in Cooperstown since doing these, you know, vigils outside of the post office and such?
Well, at first, when we started vigiling, it was a time when people were pretty well brainwashed by the government that war was necessary. And we had many people who came and scoffed at us and called us unpatriotic. And some of them, there was one woman who actually spat on the sidewalk. She was so angry that we weren't doing what the government wanted us to do. But it's too bad that we think of patriotism as following everything the government tells you to do. We need to realize that patriotism means trying to make your government, your country, as honorable and strong and friendly as any other country could be. To make it a peaceful country is, I think, patriotic. Occasionally, people would come from across the street where the National Baseball Hall of Fame is, because in the summertime we have a lot of tourists, and sometimes from other countries. And there was a Swedish family that came across the street to us because we carry signs. And they said, "What are you doing?" And we told them exactly what we were doing. "We didn't know that anybody would do this in your country." And said, "We must go back to Sweden and tell them there are people don't like the war." It was funny. But summertime, the place is crowded. In the wintertime, it's only sparsely occupied because it's pretty cold.
Are you seeing that these protests are becoming more popular now that it's an election year?
I don't know that election year has anything to do with it at all. They have not talked about foreign policy. The nominees just avoid that subject. But I think that overall, up to now, the general population has come to believe that the war in Iraq was a terrible, terrible happening. And they begin to see what we've been seeing all this time. And we get more people that come and stop and say thank you and talk to us and tell us their feelings. So it's a much more friendly atmosphere now than it used to be. So we're happy that at least we feel that the public realizes that we've done a very bad thing invading Iraq when Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. Nothing.
So, do you see any, not divide, but anything between like an older generation and a younger generation? Like any difference in interest?
I don't know. I haven't really considered that, really. Most of the people that see us are already adults because school is out on, or else if it's summertime, the kids are very often swimming or doing something for themselves. But when a group of that come along and that are full of children, it's the children who read our signs. The children will sometimes ask a question of what we mean by this sign or that sign. So it's interesting that young kids can be more interested interested in what we're doing than the adults.
Do you think there's any specific reason for that?
They're curious, I think. They're curious. And I imagine most adults feel they know everything themselves.
What do you think is one of the, I guess, most important, or, like, I guess, why? Why do you think it's important to go out there week after week when you're, you know, protesting in Cooperstown?
I am so concerned with war making in our country that I can't not go. I have to go, even though many people see that it's not doing anything for anybody. It hasn't stopped the war. But I can't not speak out in a democracy. I don't think we're a democracy if we don't speak for what we believe is right, work for what is right, and not just hide out. Otherwise, we become just an oligarchy where the people in power have all the say. We need to be able to speak up and influence other people in what we believe, or at least speak out and try to teach people what we're saying.
So how do you feel about the current, I guess, political atmosphere environment of the country today?
I think it's a discouraging kind of time for everybody. There's a great deal of fear, and I think the government is not unhappy about speaking or helping us be fearful, because I think fearfulness makes you latch on to anything they say. I'll do whatever you say. And I think that's a sad thing. We need to use our own brains. We need to learn what's happening and read more and realize that this country is a wonderful country, but we have to make it so. We just have to be part of it if we're a democracy. We have to speak out and this election time is still scary for a lot of people because not everybody likes either candidate right now, and that's difficult for everybody. But I think we need to push away the fear and learn more and do whatever we can to work for a government that cares for the hungry, who cares for the downcast, a government that will give up on some of its weaponry, and especially the nuclear weapons. We just have to put them aside because they are such a danger. An accident could happen, more so than somebody willfully touching a button. An accident could easily happen. And I think in the past, accidents have almost happened in a number of cases. So I think we just have to be outgoing in helping our Congress cut back on military weapons and to be more willing to raise minimum wage, to help the people who have been pushed down, and not only support the ones who are wealthy. And I think there's some progress in this area. I think we've seen a little bit of that, but I think we can see a lot more if we have enough people pushing to help the middle class and especially the very poor.
So how come you never got like more involved with politics if it's something you seem to be so passionate about?
I don't know. I don't know. I just feel that everybody needs to do something to help this country become more honorable, and we are the wealthiest country as well as the most powerful, so that we need to speak up and be a noble country.
So, how have you seen things in Cooperstown? Not necessarily with these issues, but how do you see, like, the people seem to care or they don't seem to care about these kinds of bigger issues going on?
I can't really say. The friends I have are very concerned, but I'm not sure all everybody is. I'm not sure that everybody reads a great deal and listens to the programs that will teach us what you can't even read in the newspapers. Very often the media doesn't tell you all the things you should know. And I have a program that I watch every day if I can. It's called Democracy Now! On the internet, and they are not supported by corporations, and they can say freely whatever they feel is right, and they have wonderful discussions on the internet to tell us what is happening that the newspapers don't tell us, and we learn a great deal more from a program like that. So I also am trying to read some books on racism, because we really are in a very sad state about mass incarceration right now, and we need to cure that. And we think that slavery is over. We elected a black president, therefore it's all over, but it's not at all. And we are really hurting black people in terrible ways, and so we have to stop that. And that's another of my of my pet efforts.
So what do you think could be done to stop that kind of stuff from happening?
I think some of our laws need to be changed. Voting laws right now sometimes keep African Americans from voting or Latinos from voting, and that's just not right. We have to change our laws, I think, on marijuana and not allow black people to be incarcerated for smoking marijuana. Some states allow it now, but I think it needs to be countrywide, so that we don't have that many people in prison. And mostly the black people are the ones who get incarcerated much more quickly than white people do. So we just have to guard against oppressing people because of their color.
So have you try to teach, you know, your children these same values, and how have you seen like before, like the newer generations kind of picking up on these kinds of issues?
Well, I have a daughter who is passionate about this as well. She lives in Cleveland, but she works as I do. I have a son who isn't quite as interested, and another daughter who is interested in some ways but has been having very difficult personal life and isn't as outspoken. And then I have another son who doesn't act interested at all. So you see, it's hard to know. We're so different. Families are full of different people. So but they all know what I feel.
So, sorry. Do you believe, I guess, where do you see the country going forward, maybe in 5 or 10 years, or where would you like to see it?
5 or 10 years. What I would like to see is a reduction in armaments. Every time we send armaments to the Middle East, to Saudi Arabia. They bomb Yemen, or they bomb Syria, or they bomb some other place. And I think that one of the most important things is to stop selling weapons to the Middle East or to Israel. I don't know what our new president will do, but we who feel strongly about not going to war, I think, need to press our government more. So I just hope that is one way. And I'm hoping, too, that with the minimum wage going up, and I think it will, there's enough pressure for that, probably, that will lift up some of the people who are struggling now. And hopefully they will tax the wealthiest people more than they have been. So hope they will, you know, pay part of their citizens.
So do you foresee yourself doing this kind of work until however long you can?
As long as I can. I do. I hope to.
So, here in Cooperstown, how would you describe, I guess, the political climate, or how have you seen things, obviously, since, you know, election day is tomorrow, how have you seen people kind of becoming active in politics?
I don't really know what to say. They may feel that they need to speak out more. I think a great deal of depends also on our legislators. You know, it's not only the president, but the president can't do everything he wants to do if the senators or the representatives refuse to do what he would like. And it's very, very difficult sometimes. But that's part of the blessing of this country, that we can have one oversee the other, so that it's not just one person deciding what we need to do.
How would you describe, if you had to leave, let's say, one piece of advice for, you know, people like my age or, you know, the younger generations, what would you say to them?
I think the younger generation, your generation, is to be highly praised, because I think that you all have been more progressive than some of us older folk. And I think you are pretty well educated compared to years ago. And I think that you're going to take hold, even though I'd like to leave you a better world and not put all the burden on you. It's just not fair. But I think that younger people are more progressive and are perhaps better educated, and I have high hopes for younger people. I think that we are leading the country in good hands, although with difficult problems to work out.
Yeah. And how have you liked, I guess, living in this village? Do you feel like it's giving you these kinds of opportunities that you know, might not have had otherwise?
I think Cooperstown is a pretty well-educated town. They are friendly and they're pretty open. I think they're open enough so that we're able to do some of the things that we've done that maybe are not possible in other towns, but I think that it's a very caring town. So I'm really so grateful to have lived here. Not only the beauty and the friendliness of the people here, but I think you can see what doesn't happen in every town. There, the farmer's market is here, and we see people worried about the environment, trying to change some of the ways we act so that we don't harm the environment. Some of us are supporting the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe Indians. So I see a lot of hope with people that are trying to help others in that are in great need or need help. But the environment is not only for them, but it's for us too. We have to be really careful. And I know our church members have helped to stop the fracking in New York State. And so I'm really glad that that had happened.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Allison. I've been so happy to meet you and talk with you too.
Thank you.